Okay, young man. Would you extend your hands towards Pete, please? Father, we release your anointing upon him. And we ask that you would pour out of him what you have already poured in. Let it come in a form that will be received, for each vessel is in need. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good evening. Oh, thank you. Someone's listening.
Yeah.
How many of you realize that the average person who gets up and speaks and preaches to you is usually preaching something to you that they're going through? They learn something. God turns around and says, now you bring it forth. When I was in the military, they would train us to do something and right away say, now teach it. That just reinforces what you've learned and whatnot. So this morning, or actually on Sunday, Kim asked me if I would be willing to speak this evening. I said, sure, I'll be happy to. I had a message about a month ago. And of course, as I've been studying the message, it's grown, and I don't think it's going to quit for a while. And it's all because of her. It's her fault. This one little scripture, which no matter how many times I read it, it really is, I don't want to say insignificant, but just reading the scripture, if it was not in the Word of God, you would go, yeah, so what? Now, when I started to meditate on this thing, things started to blossom. And that's a little bit is what we're going to go to here. Everything I'm going to be reading to you is going to be from the Amplified. Ergo, it's really small print because I've got four Bibles here, so I need my granny glasses. The first verse, I mean, you don't have to write this down because I see the time constraint. We're going to be moving quite quickly. This is more of a, I don't know how to phrase this, but what's going to happen here, it's going to be posing a question. Because the last half of the scripture I'm going to bring up poses, doesn't really pose a question, but it should for each and every one of us. And if the Lord had me, wakes me up four times in the night for the last month and said, what about this? What about that? Yes, Lord, okay, I see. Now I go back to sleep, get woke up. What about this? How many of you know God doesn't need to sleep? Isn't it wonderful? The first verse, or actually that he brought me to, it was a couple of verses, and it is not the key verse, but it is to set this thing up for what is to come. And it's funny because you basically covered it at the communion. John 19, verses 28 through 30. And it states, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, ended, said in fulfillment of the scripture, I thirst. Now, if you want to have a reference to that, you can go to Psalm 69, verse 21. I will give you the references as they are written in here, in case you want to check it out. A vessel jar full of sour wine or vinegar was placed there. So they put a sponge and soaked it in the sour wine, a stalk, a reed of hyssop, and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was after that, as we read on down, that the legs were broken on the other two that were placed on the cross with him. But his was not broken. Again, the spear came out, went right up under here, came on up, and struck the heart. Water, blood flowed out. And that was to fulfill what else was spoken by the prophets, is that not a bone would be broken. So the question is, and I just threw that little tidbit in, that's free. What, when he said it is finished, what was finished? what exactly got finished? Any ideas? Wow, no ideas. Huh? What was his mission here?
The redemption of man from everything that man had lost when Adam and Eve
betrayed God, basically, in a nutshell. And actually, if you want to get right down to it, Eve was deceived. Adam stood by and did nothing. Ladies, you're off the hook. It plainly says she was deceived. And he was right there with her, knew his authority, and like the big man that we are, he did nothing until afterwards, and he blamed his wife. So, the redemption of man was the big thing, coming out from under the curse. Amen. Coming out from under the curse of the law, coming out from any curse that's been placed on this planet, on us, is why he went to that cross, and to bring the redemption so that we can walk in that. Now, he traded everything that he had for us, to give us what he had, and he took what we were upon that cross, correct? Mm-hmm. What was he?
He was sin.
But what was he? What did he give us?
Life.
Authority. We are back to where we were spiritually as Adam when the life was breathed into him. Jesus was called the second Adam. He did not fail. He gave that up when he went to the cross. Allowed, he became sin. And if you notice in the word here, it says that he gave up his spirit. He gave up his spirit. They did not take his life. When he knew that everything was paid for, then he died. All right, now the second scripture, which is actually, believe it or not, the key scripture here, this other one was just to give you a wee bit of background, is Amos 3, verse 3.
What is it?
Amos, A-M-O-S, 3, verse 3. Amos, yeah, well, Amos, you know. Potato, potato, you know. What can we do?
Verse 3.
Do two walk together except that they make an appointment and have agreed. Now, like I said, if you just look at that outside the biblical text, you'd be like, whoop-de-doo. As I chewed on it while driving a van, and suddenly stuff started to come to light, and I'm like, oh my Lord, thank God there's no clients on board. Meanwhile, my partner's over there sleeping, which he didn't feel the van shake. I went, whoa! Okay, do two walk together except they make an appointment. When do you think we had the appointment? Dealing with God. 2,000 years ago at Calvary. The part I just read, it is finished. We had to come at some point to that cross. We had to meet that appointment, that time frame. Our life had to coincide with what he did for us. We had to accept it. That was the appointment. His death for us. And thereby, his dying, our regeneration. The second word in there, except they be agreed. That's the cute one. That's the one that keeps on waking me up. Are you agreed here? Are you agreed here? Do you agree with this? I'm going to cite some examples. We're going to go back to Genesis 6, verse 3. He loves this one. This is one of his favorites. Also one of mine. Let's see. Do we agree with this? Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh. but his days shall be 120 years. Do you agree that you can live for 120 years? Or do you question it?
I question it sometimes. I ran into a lady at Walmart that I know from CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, and she told me that she is too old to change career fields. I'm 50 years old. She's in her late 30s. I said, why are you saying that? Well, I am. I'm just too old to change career fields, so I'm just going to have to deal with what I have. And I said, well, girl, you're not even middle-aged yet. What do you mean? Middle age is 60. What do you mean? You think we're going to live to 120? Mm-hmm. And I said, do you have the Spirit of God within you? Yes. Do you believe the Word? Are you born again? Yes. Then how can you say that you're not going to live that long if the Word of God says that you have 120 years to live? Moses, who had the Holy Spirit upon him when necessary, how long did he live? 120 years. And he had the strength and the eyes of his youth. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. We do. And we're sitting here saying, oh, boo-hoo. 80 is about it, baby. You know? Is that agreeing with the Word of God? And who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus, the one who died for us. So that's just one example. I'm not picking on anyone but myself, so just don't take it personal. The next one, okay. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. I'm just going to read them. Now, of course, just check off in your head and see how many of these you actually agree with. Not just when you're feeling great, but when you're not feeling so great. Blessed. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives every one all your iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases. Well, we're all right there for the iniquities. Are we there for the diseases? I'm not saying now that if you have a problem with your body and you're under medical help that you stop doing the medical help deal. You wait until the doctor tells you that, okay, you're cleared in this area. Seek the professional help that you started with. Don't get crazy. But the Lord can turn you around instantly, or it could take his time. Remember, people look at healing and they say, oh, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Miracles are instant. Healing takes time. It took time to get sick. I had an operation 2 months ago for a hernia. The Lord could have healed that, but he chose to put me under the table, which was fine. They gave me some great stuff, man. It was wonderful, you know. But it took 2 weeks for the healing to happen. The first night, I was in pain. Not only did I have the pain of the incision and where they stuffed everything back in and stitched me back up and all that neat yuck stuff, I also had back spasms that I had to contend with. And of course, it would wrap right around right where the incision was, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is just wonderful. I get woke up because it's time to go get some more narcotics so I don't feel the pain. And I'm on the soft couch trying to get up, and all the time I'm remembering, bless the Lord in all things. Remember, every breath is ordered by God. The steps of a man are also ordained by who?
God.
So why am I going through this? God knows, and I'm happy. Right. You know, Lord, why didn't you just heal me? And be honest with you, the answer I got was, I am. It took a week and a half for the thing to totally heal, but I was off the oxycodone in 3 days. It was after 3 days, I was like, okay. Now, the rest of that verse. Okay, here it is. Who redeems, let's see how far did I say? Oh, yeah. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. We are all about that, aren't we? No problems there. Who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring.
Do we always grasp and agree with that? No, we don't. But yet, remember now, in order to walk with the Lord, we have to walk agreed.
Correct?
Yeah.
How can two walk together unless they walk agreed? We made the appointment, no problem. What about the agreed? Next one. Oh, I love this one. Romans 8. Here's a cutie. A lot of people love this one. 8 verse 11. Someone here could cite this one by memory. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal or short-lived perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Again, we're right back to he who heals. Do you know that most of Jesus' ministry he did was healing? You read the Gospels, he did a lot of healing and spoke about money, and not in a negative sense. And the last one I'm going to give you is, you might want to write this one down. I'm just going to go with the first, with a couple, 5 verses. 1 Corinthians 13, 3 through 8. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because here's where a lot of us really, and this was, when I got up this morning, my wife was watching Joyce Meyer, and the Lord said, sit down, add this to tonight. And I'm there, how much of it? I'll tell you when you get there, and that's just what he did. It's verses 3 through 8. Now just think this through your head and what it means and how much do you and I, each of us, add up to it. 1. Here's verse 3. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or, oh my God, vainglorious. Oh, I love those big words. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Well, we'll go a little bit further just for kicks and giggles. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. How do we stack up? I can say I failed at every one of them. Probably today, on more than one occasion. I mean, I can say this, and because everyone knows that there's strains in every marriage. Think of your spouse. I do. Quite a bit. Do I think of her in these terms? Oh, yeah. Wrong answer. I'm a human being. I've been hurt. And the hurts come forward. but yet I have to walk agreed. Now, how do you do it? What is the main theme of faith? We have to have faith in the Lord, right? What's the main area? What covers all of our, what's the word I'm looking, all of our shortcomings? What's the one word that covers it all? Blood. The blood. Yes, love too. You're right. And God is love. But the blood. How much blood does it take? A drop. Now, the faith that God is looking for is not, gee, do I have enough faith to be healed? Do I have enough faith to believe for my finances? No. You have enough faith to believe that Jesus' death and that blood covered everything that is covered in this book, in your life. That's when he said, it is finished. That was the end product. He paid the price for us at that point. When we fail at any of this, we return to the blood. And do you know what God the Father sees? Doesn't see me. Doesn't see Kim Bergeron. Doesn't see Linda. Sees his son. God sees us as he sees his son, Christ. For it is written that as he is in heaven, so we are in this world. When he looks over and he sees his son, does he see a beat up, gnarly, defeated person? No, he sees a glorious overcomer who is the head of the church, and we are his body. If the head is glorious, how can the body not be? I mean, how many times have we said, oh, here comes Peggy in her head? We're laughing. It sounds stupid. But it's the truth. We are the body. He is the head. The scripture says it over and over again. It all functions as one unit. We need to see ourselves as that unit and quit kicking ourselves every time we fail. And we're going to fail. That's why he paid the price that he paid, to cover the failure. It's just, you know, like I said, there's a lot to that scripture. There's a lot in the words. I know I went through it real fast, but it's the best that I could do with the time allotted and the fact that it kept on getting added to. But there's a lot to chew on. I hope you guys got all the scriptures written down, those of you that were taking notes. Do you have any questions or comments? Because that's about all that he's given me right now.